there and things like that. We want to be people who have it clear and strong, but we want to be people who don't have the echoes that are there on that way. And so I've got recorders that I'm using this morning, and we'll be studying about how they respond to the pulpit and to the speaker systems here. And it's good to have you here. It's good to have my good brother-in-law, Bob Wisner. Bob, you'll want to see after service today, or those of you who would not catch him on Wednesday night, he's recently retired from his sports writing work over there in Arkansas in Hot Springs. It's a newspaper company there. But he's still writing for them at times and writing for others as well in sports areas. And so knowledgeable about those particular areas and everything. If you've got a particular question or comment you want to make about an old movie in years gone by, he knows about them from everybody's direction. He knows about them. So you'll enjoy that. You'll enjoy Bob with that. Bob Wisner. We're glad to have him here over the holiday time. Glad he's here to service this with us today. The topic today is the idea of our choices in God's approval. The choices that we make in life are many and varied. From the time that we're little children, our parents guide us to making better choices. Sometimes a swat on the bottom, sometimes washing our mouth out with soap, sometimes telling us, you remember what happened before when you did this, does remind us that there are some things we don't need to practice. We need to choose to do those things elsewhere or never do those things anymore. Because there are those who tell us as we leave the house, you remember who you are and remember whom you represent. And as a result of going out into the night and the events that you take place with other young people around your life, you remember that that word's going to get home. And most of the time at my house, it got home before I did. It arrived there before I arrived home. My mom always opened the door for me when I arrived back home at night. And she met me with greetings. And she met me with good words. And that was the way I was. But however, there were times that Mama wanted to double check on me. I rode a school bus to school as a little boy, and Mr. Fleming was our school bus driver, nice, good man. And she would sometimes come down the road, down the driveway, and meet me as I got off the bus, Miss B. She would do that. Anyhow, she would ask Mr. Fleming, before he closed the door back, have you been having any problem out of Robert on your bus going to school or coming back from school? Well, there were occasions where Mr. Fleming would listen closely and he wouldn't respond as quickly. He always said, no, Ms. Rawson, I'd have no problem out of Robert whatsoever. I'm so glad he's on my bus. That was the word that he would use. But he might wait just a moment before he said, no, Ms. Rawson, I'm glad you asked me, but I've not had any trouble out of Robert. She would be asking me all the way back up the little hillside and back up the little driveway, why did Mr. Fleming hesitate before he answered me today? When we make choices in life and we have that kind of guidance and leadership behind us, on this earthly tie, we have a good beginning, but more so, especially the ways of God. Because God and His holy word, as we realize, recognizes where we are. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we read, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. That's repeated in Proverbs 16 and 25. The notation is given, there's a way that seems right. When people seem right on their own mind, plans that they do for themselves, but it's the way of separation from God. It's the way of death. That's what that word death means in the Bible. In the New Testament of the Bible, a good definition is given of it in James 2 at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith if it hath not works. Notice what he said there. The body separated from the spirit, and that body is dead. But we also have spiritual death, in the sense that our faith is separated from our activities, and our works do not show that we truly believe as we should. And as a result of that, we die spiritually. Adam and Eve died spiritually, though they did not die physically. God had instructed them to eat of every fruit of every tree that's in the midst of the garden. There is a tree that you should not eat of. You should not touch it. You should not eat of it. As they went along with their journey in life, they found that Satan came along and tempted the woman. And she said, this is good. And she gave to her husband, and he did eat and said it was good. When God came back in the cool of the day and inquired of them about the choice that they had made, they hid themselves. They did not want to meet up with him. They knew they could not answer properly. They knew they could not answer according to his will. He had said, "Do not touch this and do not eat of this, lest you die." They were going to be separated from God. Physically speaking, as we go along in Genesis chapter 5, we read of the many years, hundreds of years, that Adam lived and begat many sons and daughters. But it is the case that physically they lived, but they were dead in the sense of being separated from God because of their disobedience. When you and I have choices in life that are different from God, we are dying in the sense of being separated from him. He's not going to allow us to enter into that wonderful climb of heaven itself if we're living in and dying in those sins as we live in life. Let's be people then who make choices based upon God's will and God's teaching. Now, in what areas should we make those choices? Well, we make those choices in the words that we say, of course, the mannerisms that we have in our activities of life, the choices that we make as to how we say things about ourselves and others. It is the case sometimes we cuss ourselves out because we do this, that, or the other that we knew was going to bring about a problem, going to bring about something that we didn't want to have happen. But we're really profaning someone that God said, "I made you." Did God make us unable to do what we decided to do for him? Did he make us unable to know his will? Little children are born and they're innocent. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus plainly noted, "Except you become converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." It is the case that little children are innocent in their ways. Being innocent in their ways, they do not make choices for right and wrong. But to get to a certain point in time, I most of the time advise young people as they come to talk about being baptized into Christ. And they're very young at that time. And I ask them, "What do you know that's wrong? What do you think about when you do something wrong?" If the reply is, "I think about what mama will say to me, or grandma and grandpa will say to me, or daddy will say to me if I say this or do this or that," when I note to them, when you get to the point that you're thinking about what God thinks of you in what you're choosing to say and what you're choosing to do, don't just walk, run to be immersed into Christ. Run to be obedient to the gospel. Don't hesitate. Don't waste another day. Go that very day. Go that very evening. In the Bible, people were baptized into Christ when they made that decision. The old preachers used to say, and I think correctly so, before they ate a bite, before they went on a journey, before they did any other work and deeds in their lives, they went to be baptized into Christ. Oh, but immediately, when they learned what they should do, that salvation was so important for them to have, that they went immediately and did that. When you think of that, mom and dad, and what they're going to say about what I'm doing, what do you think about my friends and neighbors? What are they going to say about what I'm doing? But when the first thought comes to mind, we are maturing as we should. What does God think about what I'm fixing to say or what I'm fixing to do? Make my choices on the basis of what God thinks about these matters. As a result of that, I want to be a person who follows suit. My choices and God's approval go hand in hand. As the people listened on the internet system to this particular topic of study today, perhaps there are those there that said, I have been taught through my years that my faith in the Lord is all I need. Back to that passage in James 2 at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith, if it hath not, works. My faith would be dead, separated from God, if I did not have that kind of activity that showed what I really believe. When churches throughout the countryside are being taught about this faith alone, and that it does not matter, they're citing up a type of works, and they're citing up Ephesians 2 and in verse 9, in which it is said, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what kind of works are in that passage? Why, they're the works of which a man would boast. He would major in boasting. Can we boast of hopes of salvation? Do we deserve to be saved? Why, we find ourselves saying, no, I'm not in a deserving situation like that. I'm not innocent either. I know the difference between right and wrong, and I know that God's will is against what I'm doing, what I'm practicing, what I'm teaching, what I'm saying. I know God's will is against this. When we find that our will and God's will are not the same, we want to be the person that God would have us to be. And when we do that, we find ourselves being forgiven of God. When we find ourselves in relationship with Him, we have a wonderful blessing. In 1 John 1, verses 2 and 3, we read about those who come into the fellowship with the Father and the Son. Baptized into Christ, we come into that relationship. We don't go back and get rebaptized every time that we do sin, but we find ourselves doing what John says we should do in this new relationship. We're baptized into Christ. We come into relationship with the Father and the Son. We are there walking in the light. As we walk in the light, there are people along the way we do sins. And in 1 John 1 verse 9, he plainly tells us summation of it. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here I am in a relationship with the Father and the Son, walking in the light. But I get over into darkness. I get over into sin. I get over into things I shouldn't say and things I should not do. The way I behave is not of God. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and willing to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much sin? All unrighteousness. We can come back to a right standing relationship with God. As a result of that, when our hour of time has come in this world, that we find by choice our ways of life to teach others the gospel, we can teach them that our personal works of righteousness do not save, that we boast of do not save. Also, Paul would write the works of the old law of Moses, the Ten Commandments system, and the works of the animal sacrifices. Galatians 5 and verse 4, we find ourselves not being justified before God at all by the works that are of the law. For if we attempt to be justified by the works of the law, we have fallen from grace. So it is that we find ourselves in this kind of work of the old law, not being right before God. Also, Jesus said plainly in John 8 at 46, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, even so do you. What is Jesus accusing them of doing? The type of work that's the work of the devil. The work of the devil was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and abiding not in the truth. So it is that the work of the devil does not save. The works of the old law do not save us. The works of our personal boasting do not save us. What work does save us? Since James says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith, if it have not works, what kind of works save us? They're referred to in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 as good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are those good works that we should walk in? Jesus explained to those people in John 6, verses 28 and 29. This is the work of God. Work of whom? The work of God. That ye believe in him whom he sent. Faith itself is a work, but it's not a work of the old law. It's not a work of the devil, of course, and it's not a work of which we boast. It's a work of God that we bring into our hearts and our lives, and we begin to be servants of this God of heaven and the way that he's taught us to do. When Paul wrote the Romans and wrote their salvation, he raised the question, because it was unthinkable to him, there in Romans chapter 6. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? He reminds them, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with him by baptism into his death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we are raised to walk in newness of life. He concludes that particular idea by going on to talk about the garden. He says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved or serve sin. He goes on in Romans 6 to talk about how to live and follow the ways of the Lord. Then he comes back to that theme in Romans 6, beginning at 16. And he says regarding this, but God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants or enslaved unto righteousness. God be thanked. When we made a choice to escape that way, we escaped that way by a living faith that put us into a baptism into Christ, and we began to walk a new way of life. Shall we continue in sin now that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have the choice that pleases God, and that we are people who have made that choice and we follow the right teachings of God? What a blessing it is to have that on our side and that a part of our life. We hope that others along the way, even during this holiday time, will think about their relationship to God as much as they think about any other choice. They're choosing to obedience to the Lord. That's the way that he's taught us to do. I close with a passage in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect or complete, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. When my choices are choices that say, I am obeying him, then I can rejoice in the hope that I have, a relationship that I have with the Father and the Son, a relationship that when I do sins, I don't go back and get re-immersed again and again. I find myself confessing my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Some people skip that part about getting into a right relationship with the Lord. And they go right on to saying, well, I'll say to the Lord, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. Will His mercy reach out to me? I cannot tell people that that will be the case. Maybe I can hope in my own heart that they're sincere and genuine with that and that it can reach them. But that's God's choice. That's not my choice to teach or preach. I cannot teach that because God didn't say that. Listen to that passage once again. Hebrews 5, verse 9. He became the author of eternal salvation to those that sometimes obey Him and sometimes don't. Is that what He said? He became the author of eternal salvation to those that never get around to obeying Him. Is that what He said? Or did He say He became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey Him? Let's be obedient to His right way and follow His right cause. Good to have you in the service.